Well, the Lord is good. He is always faithful. He always knows what we need to get us through, to keep us. Amen. He always makes a way. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God has something for you. I believe He speaks in this day and this time. And I believe that the Lord would speak to us today through His Word and by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this opportunity that we have not only to worship, Lord, to be in Your presence, but to hear You. And I pray, Father, that each one would hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, I pray that You would work through this weak vessel and show Yourself mighty and strong in the hearts and lives of Your people. Lord, that in some way each one of us will be changed, will be challenged, will be drawn to a higher place in You. And Father, that You be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I believe that we are going to wrap up this series, Hearing God. And for me, it is certainly not the end of this learning process to hear Him. I have felt like from the very beginning that I am certainly no authority on hearing God. Now, I hope that doesn't make you uncomfortable because, listen, the Holy Spirit is an authority on hearing God. And I am trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today. But I consider myself to be a fellow learner with you, that we are learning and growing as long as we are growing in the Lord. I think we should be growing in our relationship with Him and growing in learning always to hear more clearly and more often every day. What a wonderful thing it would be if we just got to the place, not where we thought highly of ourselves, but where others said about us, like they did about Enoch, he walks with God. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to have such a relationship where you just talk to God and He talks to you, where other people said, well, they walk with God. That's an awesome thing. And I think that is available for us today as we just learn to talk with the Lord, to walk and talk with Him. I feel like it's important for me to give you a brief review as we wrap up this series. I just want to go back over this series with you very briefly. First thing is that you have to know that He speaks. There are always going to be crazy people in this world, religious people who will say, God told me so. And in this society we live in, there are, well, I guess a lot of people that equate someone who says, God spoke to me, they look at that kind of in the same way as they do somebody who says, well, I was abducted by aliens. You know, it's just kind of, you know, if you think God spoke to you, well, you're one of those people. But listen, it doesn't matter to me whether there are other people who, religious weirdos who say, God told me this and God told me that, and it's obvious to everybody that God is not speaking to them. It doesn't matter to me that somebody else will think that I'm off the deep end. What I see in the Scripture is that God really does speak to people. From cover to cover, God has always spoken to His people, and He still speaks to us today. Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice." And so if you read the Bible, I'm telling you, you will see that God speaks. And if God is going to speak to you, if you're going to hear God speak, you need to believe that He speaks. And that takes us to the second thing. You need to know that if you're going to hear God, you know His voice because you know Him. It is because of the relationship that you have with Him. There's not a formula for hearing God. No, it is a relationship that we have with Him, and as we grow in that relationship, and we know Him, then we know His voice. Hearing God is much more than just getting directions or information from Him. It is not just about getting a word when we're in a crisis. Listen, certainly He is well able to give us a word in crisis. He's well able to give us wisdom and direction when we need it. But hearing God should be something more than that. It is about that relationship. It is about an intimacy with the Lord. And that should always be our focus, is that we want to be closer to Him. We want to hear His voice because we want to be close to Him. And when we're truly intimate with the Lord, hearing and knowing His voice is not a strange thing or a complicated thing. No, we know Him, and so we know His voice. Third, we have to have time with Him, and that has to be a priority in our life. You know, it always amazes me that the Son of God came, and in 3 years of ministry, He totally changed the world. And in all that He had to do while He was here, and so many who needed Him, so many who put demands upon Him, He thought it was important to pull away to a private place. Though there were so many needs waiting on Him, He would pull away to a private place where He could talk to His Father, and His Father spoke to Him. And I'm telling you that we have to have that priority in our life, that we always make room for the One who is the love of our life. We cannot expect to hear God like we're driving through the fast food restaurant. He's the most important thing in our lives. And we got to always remember that. And that brings us to the fourth message. If we want to hear God, we got to be still. We got to be quiet. We have to listen. And we have to wait. You need a time and a place that you meet with God. Last week I shared with you about the willing heart. And many times it is just the simple fact that we don't really want to hear God about a particular situation that keeps us from hearing. Sometimes we don't hear God because we have refused to hear too many times, and our heart just is no longer open, no longer sensitive to His voice, and we just don't hear. In the same way, if we will choose to have a willing heart and obey the Lord, then we will hear Him more and more. Jesus said, "The sheep know the voice of the shepherd." We can know His voice because of the relationship we have with Him. Now, He speaks in many different ways. And as you read the Bible, it is interesting how many different ways God can speak to people, but oftentimes He has spoken to people through angels and dreams and visions, sometimes even an audible voice, a prophecy, another person, even a donkey. That's right. Many times when He's going to do something very unusual, something spectacular, He will speak to someone in a very unusual way. He spoke to Moses from a bush that was on fire but was not consumed. A strange thing, an unusual thing. But it was something that was needed for Moses at that time. I mean, here's a bush talking to this man, and he's still having a hard time getting a hold of what God is saying to him. Later, he spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend. But God spoke to him in such a spectacular fashion on this occasion. As I mentioned a minute ago, Balaam the prophet was so bullheaded that God had to speak to him through a donkey. What's it take to get your attention? He spoke to Joseph through a dream to show him how he would raise him up into great authority. He spoke to David through the prophet Nathanael when he had sinned and had not confessed his sin. And Nathanael said to David, "You are the man." He spoke to many by angels like he did to Mary. I mean, this is pretty unusual when God tells you that you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and bring forth a son, the Son of God. So God speaks to her through an angel. He also spoke to her husband-to-be, Joseph, when he was ready to put Mary away. In the dream, Joseph was told to go ahead, not be afraid, but go ahead and to make her his wife. Then later, after the Lord Jesus was born and Herod was seeking out this new king to kill him, Joseph was warned in a dream to take the child to Egypt until it was safe. You see, God speaks in unusual, sometimes miraculous, spectacular ways. He also spoke to Philip in the New Testament in the book of Acts through an angel. Acts chapter 8, and I want to read this one to you. It's Acts chapter 8, 26 through 29. It says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near, overtake this chariot.'" So here is Philip, this man who has been mightily used of God, and an angel speaks to him to tell him to go in a different direction. And the Bible tells us plainly, this was desert. This wasn't the normal way to go. And sometimes God will tell you to do something that's totally different than what you've been doing. He'll tell you to take a new direction. In this case, he used an angel to tell Philip that. But then there's something else that happens. As Philip obeys that word from the angel, then the Spirit says to him, "Go and join this chariot. Overtake this chariot." Now the rest of the story is that the Ethiopian receives Christ and is baptized. We don't know how far-reaching the effects were as this man in great authority goes back to his country, how many lives might have been changed as a result of Philip just simply obeying the word that God spoke to him through the Holy Spirit to overtake this chariot. But I want you to see this, that though God speaks many times through unusual things and spectacular ways, what we might consider to be miraculous, most often He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, just as He did Philip here in this passage. That day by day, as we serve the Lord, that the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. If we have an ear to hear, if we're willing to hear, the Lord speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, who is always with us, all the time. He certainly speaks to us through His Word. This is the Word of God, and it is alive and powerful. But I want you to consider this. An unbeliever, a carnal person, can read this word and not hear God. And a religious person who is not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them, to help them and teach them, can read this word and come away with all kinds of wacky ideas, all kinds of falsehoods, and they got it from the Bible. Yes, God speaks to us through His Word, But we need the help of the Holy Spirit to hear what God is saying to us. In fact, I want to read this to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 and 12. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us." I'm telling you, there are a lot of things that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to give to us, but we can't receive those things without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and speaks to us through it. We, you know, as you serve the Lord, most of us have had this experience many times where we are reading a passage of Scripture, and maybe we didn't get anything special out of it. And then another time we read that same passage, and all of a sudden it just comes alive to us as though God were speaking that very word to us personally. That is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when somebody is preaching the Word of God, the same thing happens. Oh, to one, they may not hear anything, but somebody else, the Holy Spirit takes a word and speaks it to their heart. So important. You see, it is through the Holy Spirit, our teacher. That's what Jesus said, that He would teach us, that He would guide us into truth. And you see, it is through the Spirit that we receive instruction. Listen, the Word of God is profitable for instruction. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, we just don't get it. It's through the Holy Spirit we receive that correction sometimes. It's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction. It's one thing to know the difference in right and wrong, but it's amazing how the Holy Spirit all of a sudden can convict you about an attitude or about something you're doing or not doing. In our daily life, as we serve the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, speaks to us, show us the way. That still small voice, that voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." It's difficult to hear God if our minds are carnal, if our thoughts are carnal all the time. It's hard to hear God. I want to read on in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read 13 and 14. He says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches." And I just want to point out to you that there's a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. When we're talking about hearing God, I'm telling you, sometimes there's too much emphasis on the wisdom of man in the church today. We need to hear from God. "Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." First, I just want to tell you, sometimes if something seems like foolishness to us, maybe we need to check ourselves that we're not just thinking with a carnal mind. But I want you to take special note of this phrase here. He says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." We can't approach the Scripture just with a natural mind. No, we need to be tuned into the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us and guide us into truth and to show us, to reveal to us. But I also want you to know that, notice this, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. You see, our natural feelings, our natural inclinations, our natural thoughts are not the Holy Spirit leading us. And some people get really confused about this. They think just whatever they feel, that must be God leading them. I can assure you that your feelings are not necessarily the Holy Spirit leading you. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. We don't just hear God through our natural feelings and inclinations. Listen, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." In other words, this should be normal for a born-again Christian, as a child of God, that you are led by the Spirit of God. Now, I think there's two extremes. You know, the truth is always a road with a ditch on both sides. There's two extremes. People sometimes go to the extreme where they just think it's automatic. Okay, well, I'm born again, and so everything I do, I'm just being led of God. How many of you know that if you want to, you could be sinful and ugly even though you're born again? Not everything, listen, it's not automatic that you're going to be led by the Spirit. And then there's another extreme where, you know, some people just act like they just float through life and, you know, they're not really serving God or doing anything for God. They think, oh, well, I'm just, you know, passing through. I'm telling you that God wants to lead us in this world as His children, that we are being used of Him, that we are obeying Him, that we are fulfilling His call in our life, that we treat people the way He wants us to treat people, we live the way He wants us to. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will lead us to do that. But listen, He leads us. He doesn't drive us. Jesus said the shepherd leads the sheep, and the Holy Spirit will lead you. David said this in the 23rd Psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will lead you in a path of righteousness. He'll lead you in a path of doing what is right. Not right in your own eyes, right in the eyes of the world, but right in the eyes of God, what is pleasing to God. That's the way the Holy Spirit will lead you. And listen, we need to understand this, that when the Holy Spirit is leading us, when God is speaking to you, sometimes He will take you into some places that you would not have chosen. You see, I don't think Philip would have chosen to go into the desert. Hey, God, take me to the next city. I'm going to go reach another city. But an angel says, no, go this way out into the desert. Who would have thought that he would encounter such an important person and lead them to Jesus out in the desert? But that's what happened. And I'm telling you that sometimes God will lead you into some places, to do some things that you personally wouldn't have chosen. It was not your natural inclination. You didn't feel like going there and doing that. We all know that Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but your will be done." But you know, before he even began his ministry, the Bible tells us this in Matthew 4:1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go there. I don't want to go into the wilderness. I don't want to fast for 40 days, and I sure don't want to put myself where I'm going to be tempted. But the Spirit led him there. The Bible says very plainly, to be tempted by the devil. Sometimes God will take you to some places that it was not your natural inclination or feeling to go there, but the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit instead of just following our own feelings. We've got to make sure that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, not our selfish desires. I heard about one pastor was having trouble getting anybody to do anything, to serve in any way. And he would ask somebody to work with the children's ministry, or he'd ask somebody to come early and greet people, stay late and greet people. And he asked for people who would open their home for a small group. And each time he would ask somebody, they would just say, well, you know, I just don't feel led in that area. Just don't feel led to do that. He finally got him a big chunk of lead and set it on his desk and said, if you want to feel led, come in here. Now, I know I'm really just kidding, church. This is not really the right attitude, but I want you to understand something. It is not about our selfish feelings and desires. When we're talking about feeling led, we're not talking about our feelings. We're talking about something deep down inside that the Holy Spirit is leading us. And I can tell you this, He's going to lead you to do something for God. He's not going to lead you. You know, those same people seem to feel led to sit in front of the TV. They need to get the lead out. Get off the couch and feel led to do something for God. I tell you, that gets used and abused, but it's right that we are supposed to be led of the Holy Spirit, not just about the things of ministry and involvement at church, but every day in our life, decisions that we make and the way we live our lives, that we're listening, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. But you need to know this, that your old sinful nature, your flesh, will tend to be lazy and carnal. But the Spirit will lead you to do the things of God. Let me read this to you from Galatians 5:16 through 18. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, our old nature and the Spirit want different things. They're contrary with one another. And so if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we have to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We have to be sensitive to Him and listen to Him. Again, from the first verse there I read, He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to make that choice. In verse 18 He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And you know, a lot of people focus on the last part of that and they say, oh, I'm not under the law, I can do whatever I want. Oh no, they don't understand at all. Here's a perfect example of somebody taking the Scripture and not hearing God at all. Because here's what He's saying, as we walk in the Spirit, as we're led of the Spirit, we're going to do what's right. It's not a lower standard, it's a higher standard. We're not under the law because we're obeying the Spirit every step. That doesn't mean we do what we want. We're obeying the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. I remember one night about 30 years ago after church on a Wednesday night, and I, you know, sometimes when you've been in a church service and the Holy Spirit was moving and working, and you know, you just, I don't know, it just felt like I was really in tune with the Holy Spirit, maybe more so than normal. And I was driving home, and at that time, 20 merged on to 35. The exchange was a little different than it is now. It was before the new exchange. And you would come around and get on a service road, and those coming from the other side of 20 got on the same service road. And as I was on that service road, I noticed a car coming just out of the corner of my eye. And you know, my normal feeling and inclination, my natural inclination would just be to just go straight ahead. I'm in my lane, they can stay in their lane. But something on the inside of me, and see, we know what that something is, don't we? The Holy Spirit just said, slow down and stop. And I just had a peace over me. It wasn't anything, you know, panicky, or wasn't any screeching tires or anything. I just slowed down, kind of came to a stop. And I watched as that car at a high rate of speed, went right across my lane and took out what was then a concrete bridge and went on down to the bottom where a creek was. And I knew that if I had of just gone with my natural inclination, instead of being sensitive to the Spirit and listening, I would have been at the bottom of that creek. And I'm just telling you that we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to be listening. But He really will speak to us and lead and guide us on a daily basis. But one more time, I want to say He leads us. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't force us. And we can ignore Him if we want to. Many have described the Lord speaking to them as an inward witness or a knowing deep inside. I remember when the Lord called me to full-time ministry at 18 years old. I didn't hear any big voices. I didn't have a dream or see an angel. But what happened on the inside of me is that I knew that I could never be happy doing anything else with my life. I could never be satisfied doing anything else with my life. I told my family, told them that I was going to be a youth pastor. And I remember they were so concerned. At that time, this is back in 81, before some of you were born, right? There were very few full-time youth pastors. And for each of those full-time positions, there were many, many, many people that were way more qualified than me. But I knew that this is what I had to do. The Apostle Paul put it this way. It's 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." I knew I had to do it. Woe to me if I didn't. He doesn't compel in the sense of force, but that strong influence, the sense of urgency that this is what I have to do. I knew. You know, sometimes it's just that easy. You just know. You just know what God wants you to do. I remember when I met Carmen and we got married, it was so easy. It's still easy. I just knew. Didn't struggle. Now listen, I'm not saying that it's supposed to be so easy for everybody. You need to always remember this. God deals with each of us individually. He speaks to us in different ways. But for me, I'm just telling you, for me, that was so easy. I just knew. Always had a peace about it. Never had any red flags. I just knew it was easy. Carmen and I one time were trying to discern where the Lord wanted us to be, and we were in between churches, and so we went to 4 different churches and tried out, as they called it, and each one of those churches, precious churches, they wanted us to come and be their pastor, and I just could not get a peace about it. We just went from one to the next and the next. Finally, the 5th church, I remember on the Saturday night before I preached there, I felt like the Lord just said to me, and see, God speaks to each of us differently, okay? I know some of you, He speaks in 16th century English, okay, and He speaks to you in big fancy terms, okay, but He just said to me, take this church and do a good job. And so I didn't even tell Carmen until the next night after the Sunday night service. She was playing the piano for the altar time. And I went over and I sat down by her and I said, we're going to take this church. The Lord told me to take this church. And she said, started trembling as she's playing. She said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. I just want you to know, sometimes it's not easy. But you just know that God has spoken to you. And when you have that, that's all you need. Brother Nichols, our former pastor, who pastored this church for 50 years, he began to talk to me about coming back to Grace to pastor the church. And he told me that I was the one. And this is what he said to me at one point. He said, "I saw what you did. I saw the good job that you did with that church. And that's how I knew that you were the one." I'm just telling you, God connects it all together. When we just hear Him and obey Him and do what we're supposed to do, it's amazing how God works everything out. Oh, how we need to hear Him in our lives. He never messes up. He always knows what He's doing if we just hear Him. But sometime we do mess up. Sometime we miss it. We're not perfect. It's amazing to me when you read about the great men and women of God in the Bible, how they're just like us. They messed up. Peter, when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." I mean, what an amazing thing that Peter had such a supernatural revelation of who Jesus was. It wasn't flesh and blood, but His Father in heaven. And then just a short time later, as Jesus is talking about how He's going to die, Peter gets in front of Him and he says, "No, this will never be." And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, he meant well. He was going with his feeling and his natural inclination this time. And oh, how wrong he was, where the Lord says, "Get out of my way, Satan." And I'm just telling you that any of us can miss it. And so we need to be wise. We need to try to make sure that we've heard from God. Now, as I said earlier, sometime you know that you know that you know. You don't need to make sure because you know. I'm not talking about when you think. You know you've heard from God. But sometimes we need to make sure. I want to tell you the first way that you know you've heard from God is that you just know His voice. You know Him intimately. And so when He speaks, you know that was Him. Second, you know you heard from God. It lines up with His Word. And when I say lines up with His Word, I don't mean that you've got one verse or a phrase that you've attached it to. I mean it lines up with the whole counsel of God's Word. Because God never contradicts Himself. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. And as I said earlier, you can even say, "Well, but I know it's God because it's this Word that spoke to me." But in your understanding of that Word, it has to line up with the rest of Scripture. I think the day that and the time that we live in, there are more misconceptions about what the Bible says than any other time. I hear people who think they're quoting the Bible saying things that are not in the Bible. And many times they're quoting the Bible in a way that is incorrect. It doesn't apply. They heard some preacher. You need to never take somebody else's word for what the Bible says. You need to read it for yourself. You need to know what the Bible says. The only cure and prevention for deception is truth. This is truth, and you need to know it. Get rid of the lazy Christianity mentality of the day. Well, somebody else can tell me what it says. I don't want to have to study. That's stuff you do in school. This is life. And you need to know what it says. Even the Lord Jesus had to use the Word of God. When Satan tried to deceive him and tempt him, Satan used the Scripture against him. Took him up to a high place and he told him, he said, cast yourself down from here. His angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. He quoted from Psalms 91 to him. Quoted the Scripture to him. But Jesus knew that what he was saying didn't line up with the rest of the Word of God. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And you see, I'm telling you that when you get a word from God, you need to make sure it lines up with the rest of the Word of God. Satan comes as an angel of light, and he is well able to pull a verse, a phrase out of context to lead you astray. So before you say, God spoke to me through this word, you just make sure that it lines up with the whole counsel of God's word. Third, how can you know that you heard from God? You have real peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts so you go with your peace. Now hear me, peace doesn't come from the path of least resistance. It comes from the Prince of Peace, who said that he would give us a peace that you can't get from the world. You need to know this. Sometimes there's going to be conflict on the outside, but you can have peace on the inside because you know that you heard from God. Peace isn't just about everything being easy. No, peace is about being in the middle of the will of God. It's about knowing that you've heard from God. Listen, it is a peace, you see. We read this in regard to prayer, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We're not to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we present a request to God. In verse 7, he says, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind. You see, when we've really heard from God, we have a peace that passes understanding. We don't have to be able to figure it all out. We're not leaning to our own understanding. Instead, we're relying on Him and we're trusting Him. You know, King David had a lot of conflict in his life. But he said this in the 23rd Psalm, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies all around. But God has prepared a banquet table for him. And I'm telling you, you might be in a difficult place, but when God has spoken to you, you still have peace. And I want to encourage you that sometimes other people will try to push you, try to manipulate you into something. They may even tell you, well, I heard from God. You go with your peace. Just a few months before I met Carmen, I had gone out, dated a young lady for some months, and she told me, and she had known the Lord and grown up in church, she told me, she said, God told me that we were going to get married. But I never had a peace about that. And I walked away from that relationship. And it was just a couple of months later that I met Carmen. And then I knew. And then I had peace. But I'm just telling you that sometimes people will say, oh, you need to do this. God told me this. You got to go with your peace. Do not be pushed and manipulated into something. Sometimes there's going to be all kinds of pressure on you. But you go with your peace. Peace doesn't mean comfortable. You obey the Lord, and even in the battle, you'll have peace. Fourth, how do you know you heard from God? Sometimes you need to listen to godly counsel. Proverbs 19, 20 through 21 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. See, you can have all kinds of plans, but you need to make sure that it's God's plan. And sometimes you just need to listen to godly counsel. Not just any counsel, but godly counsel. It's so important that you listen to the right counsel. There's many in Scripture who sought counsel but listened to the wrong people. 1 Kings chapter 12 tells us that Rehoboam was to become king after his father Solomon had died, and the people came to him and they said, "Your father was hard on us, so lighten our burden and we'll serve you." Rehoboam goes to his father's advisors, the elders, and he says, "What do you think that I should do?" This is the counsel that they gave him. They said, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But the Bible tells us that Rehoboam rejected that counsel. It wasn't what he wanted to hear. It didn't match up with his feeling and inclination, and so he goes to the guys that he grew up with. He goes to his friends. It's kind of like the 15-year-old who won't listen to her parents or the pastor, but instead asks her 15-year-old friend for dating advice. He goes to his friends and he says, "So, what do you guys say?" And they told him, "Tell the people that the burden that their father put on them was nothing compared to the burden that you're going to put on them. It's going to be heavy." And so he did as his friends told him, and the end result of this was that all of Israel refused him as their king except for the cities of Judah. You've heard of the two kingdoms, the northern and southern kingdom. This is how it came into being. I'm just telling you, you got to be very careful about the counsel that you listen to. Yes, many times it's wise to seek godly counsel, but you need to make sure that that counsel truly is godly. And I want to add this, though. Sometimes you know you've heard from God. You don't need to seek counsel. Once you know you've heard from God, don't talk to man. Don't ask man. Don't get another opinion when you know you've heard from God. I'm talking about when you're not sure. Then you seek godly counsel. Ask for confirmation. You know, this again is when you don't know for sure. Then ask God for a confirmation. He knows how you feel. He knows your struggle. And when you don't know for sure, and you're saying, "God, is that really you?" Ask Him for a confirmation. He is well able to speak to you through somebody else. He might give you a confirmation while you're sitting in church on Sunday morning. He'll just speak to you through something. He may give you a confirmation as you're reading the Scripture one morning. But God is well able to reinforce what He's spoken to you. Many, many examples of that in Scripture. And if you're sincere before the Lord and you just say, "Father, is that really you? Are you really speaking to me about this?" He can give you that confirmation that you need. I remember one day when I was pastoring a church, and small church, and I was doing the cleaning to save the church some money. And a man comes in one day, and here I am in my cleaning clothes, but he asked for the pastor, and I said, "I am he." And he began to tell me that he was a minister. And before long, he said, "I want to come preach at your church." And I didn't really feel inclined that direction. But I said, sincerely, "Well, I will pray about it." And he told me, he said, "Well, you don't need to pray about it. I've already heard from the Lord." But in sincerity and humility before the Lord, I said, "Well," I smiled, and I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." It was a short prayer. But God just didn't give me a peace about that. And, you know, I needed that confirmation, though. Even though I felt really sure about that, I wanted confirmation. So I went to the Lord, and I prayed about it, and I just didn't have a peace. And so I didn't ever contact the man. And you know, I want to tell you one more story and then we're going to wrap up, all right? It's such an unusual and interesting story. And I know that some of you, I may get you to read your Bible telling this story. But in 1 Kings chapter 13, you might want to write that down. 1 Kings chapter 13, there's a really interesting story of a young prophet, a young man of God, whom God is using. But God tells him not to stop and eat or drink on his journey. But an older prophet tells him, well, an angel appeared to me and told me it'd be all right if you come into my house and eat with me. And so the young prophet said, well, okay, if God told you that, I guess it must be all right. And so he comes in and eats with him. And when they're done eating, the older prophet tells him, he says, you disobeyed the Lord. You're going to die. And sure enough, when the young man gets back on his journey, a lion comes and eats him. And here's all I'm saying to you. You know what? You need to hear God for yourself. Don't you take somebody else's word for what you need to do with your life. I'm not telling you not to ever seek godly counsel. I just talked about that. But I am telling you that you need to hear God for yourself and what you're supposed to do with your life. So strange to me. Why didn't the Lord have the lion eat that old geezer? I mean, he lied to that boy. But I know this. It tells me to always hear God myself. And I encourage you, keep learning, keep growing in your relationship with God and learning to hear His voice. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I thank You that You have called us to such a fantastic life, to walk and talk with You, to know You personally in an intimate way. And I pray, Father, that day by day we would hear Your voice more and more, more clearly and more often. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would just continue this work that You've begun in us. Lord, that You would cause us to come to a place where we hear You clearly. Each and every day, as we go through this world, Lord, that we are Your servants. Lord, we are obeying Your voice. We are doing what You've called us to do, living the way You called us to live. Father, I pray You be glorified in it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be dismissed in just a moment, but I encourage you this morning, if God is dealing with you, let me phrase that another way. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, He's leading you. You see, God is trying to speak to you this morning. He wants to do something in your life. Then I encourage you to come for prayer. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you, you just want to grow in your relationship with the Lord and be more intimate with Him. Come for prayer. Let somebody pray in agreement with you this morning. Some of you are seeking direction. There's some big decision that's weighing heavy on you. Let somebody agree with you that God is going to show you the way, that God is going to speak to you. Whatever your need might be this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. But you just let the Lord have His way, would you? I'm going to dismiss the congregation with a blessing. And as we dismiss, if you want prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.